بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن سار على سبيله إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، honorable علماء كرام، respected elders, and especially my beloved youth, the future leaders and flag bearers of Islam, on behalf of Madrasa Hamidiyah and the Youth Hub, I would like to extend a very warm and hearty welcome to each and every one of you. Ahlan wa sahlan wa marhaban bikum. May Allah accept your coming. May Allah accept your sitting here. May Allah accept your listening to these programs. May Allah make it a means of our safety in this world, our protection in the qabr, and our salvation in the akhirat. Respected friends, this program was advertised as being all-inclusive for the youth as well as the elderly. And normally it is very difficult to find a common ground between the young and the old. Many a times the youth are accused of not having the required levels of patience and tolerance to bear with the elderly and to afford them the respect that they deserve. And on the other side of the coin, the elderly are accused of being out of touch and out of sync with the youth and the issues that are plaguing the youth. But if we have to find one unifying factor, one thing that brings together the young and the old, in fact it brings together males and females, it brings together the rich and the poor, it brings together people from diverse backgrounds, people from different countries and continents of the world. In today's time, that common ground, that one unifying factor is the cell phone. If we have to take a survey of all those that are seated here today, and all those that are listening over the live streaming, then I am certain that at least 90% will say, I am the owner of a cell phone, if not a smartphone. And therefore, all of us will know and will understand that every few months on your cell phone, at the top of the screen, there is a notification that appears. And that notification requires you to perform what is known as a software update. Why? What is the need for a software update? That cell phone that was once branded and sold as the fastest phone on the market, it had such a fast processor and so many gigs of memory. And the moment you touch the screen, the task is performed. And so many applications can run in the background. As time passed, that technology became obsolete and out of date. And now viruses started to creep into the system. Now when you touch on that screen, there is a slight lag, there is a delay before the task is performed. Now when few applications are opened in the background, that phone starts to freeze. And therefore, if you want that phone to run at its best performance, then there is a need to perform the software update. In the very same way, when it comes to our iman and the qualities of iman, from time to time, we also need to perform a software update on our iman. Each and every one of us has had that stage or phase in our life where there was some worry, some difficulty, and we found ourselves attached to the masjid. More hours were spent in dua. A greater amount of money was given away in sadaqah. And as time passed and those difficulties were removed, we started to drift away. Slowly the bad habits started to creep in once again. And just as that cell phone screen was lagging and delaying, now when the adhan is called, we also lag and delay in coming to the masjid. Now when the avenues of good are presented to us, there is a delay. Our iman starts to freeze. It doesn't want to accept the task. And therefore, if we want our iman to function at the best level, we also have to perform the software update. And just as when that phone is going through its software update, that super brilliant color screen with thousands of pixels, but when that update is taking place, the screen is shut down. There are no messages received or sent. There are no calls incoming or outgoing. The entire function of that phone now is updating. In a similar way, Allah has given us the month of Ramadan, and specifically the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, where we also will shut down all the activities of our life. All those things that we do not need in our life, the social media, the friends, going out on the weekends, for this temporary few weeks, we will put that on the back burner. We will shut down those functions of our life, and we will also perform that update on our iman. If we can leave today having started the process of the software update, then we have fulfilled what we have come here for. Inshallah, to begin our program, we will call upon Qari Safwan Mutala to recite from the Quran. He is one of the imams of our masjid and an ustad of Madrasa Tajweed al Quran.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات، فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مساكين، فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له، وأن تصوموا خير لكم تعلمون. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم، ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر، يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر، ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون. صدق الله العظيم.
Following vehicle NUR 78833, kindly remove your vehicle. One of the verses that was recited, and these are verses that we have heard time and time again in the weeks leading up to the month of Ramadan. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqoon. O people of Iman, fasting has been prescribed for you just as it was prescribed for those before you. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. In order for you to develop the consciousness of Allah Rabbul Izzah within your heart. What does this mean? We can understand by means of an example. If somebody comes to you, the time for iftar is 25 past 5. And somebody comes to you at 20 past 5 with a date, a kajur. And he says to you, why don't you break your fast now? Nobody is watching you. There's just a few minutes left, what difference will it make? Then no matter the level of your iman, no matter how far away from deen you normally are, but you will rebuke and scold this person and say, how foolish are you? Why must I let go of all the rewards that Allah has in store for me when there is just a few more moments of patience and sabr left? In the same way, outside the month of Ramadan, Shaitan will present to you a date. He won't present a halal date to you, because a halal date will break your fast. But he will present a haram date before you. She won't break your fast, she'll break your heart. And she'll break your iman also. He will present a haram date to you. He will present drugs to you. He will present music to you. He will present illicit relationships to you. And he will say to you, what difference does it make? It is only one time. Nobody will know about it, why don't you try it? At that time, a person who is intelligent, we all like to think of ourselves as intelligent. A person who is truly intelligent at that time, he will address Shaitan and say, how foolish are you? There are just a few moments left and I will be in Akhirat. That is why Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib Nawar Allahu Marqadahu would mention the verse of Quran, قَالَ كَمْ لَبِثْتُمْ فِي الْأَرْضِ عَدَدَ سِنِينَ. When the day of Qiyamah, Allah will ask, how long did you live in this world? And the answer will come, we lived for one day or a portion of a day. And then he would say to the people around him, when Shaitan tempts you to do some act of disobedience, and you feel as though you cannot hold yourself back, it is too difficult for you, there's no escape route, then at that time he says, take your own name, address yourself, and say, O Ahmad, O Ibrahim, O Muhammad, Jannat is just a few minutes away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our fasting in the month of Ramadan such that it truly develops this consciousness of Allah within our hearts. Inshallah, we will now call upon Hafiz Ismail Musa to render some advices.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Topic today was supposed to be on removing the virus. But they say nowadays, forget about removing the virus, you rather convince the people that the virus exists in the first place. So going on with that thought, some time back I heard this interesting story. It was about a farmer and his donkey. And this farmer was very well off, he had everything going for him. You know, he had fertile lands, enough workforce, enough labor. But for some reason he just kept overworking this one donkey of his. Day and night he gave it to him, he whipped him, he barely gave him enough food to eat. You know, everything was miserable for this donkey. But this donkey bore all of it, he carried on like normal, he didn't give a frown, he smiled. Every night he went to sleep, he carried on the next day. And the animals, they were watching this and they couldn't take it. So the horse goes to the donkey and he tells the donkey, "See here, there's no need for you to live a miserable life like this here. We, the other animals, we found a hole in the fence somewhere. So one night you just creep out of your stable, you jump through this hole, you go a few kilometers down the road, you'll find fields upon fields, pastures upon pastures, you can graze to your heart's content, you can enjoy the rest of your life there. You don't have to worry anymore, you don't have to suffer like this." So the donkey turns to the horse and he says, "See, my brother, I appreciate the concern, I appreciate the sentiment, but you know, I know something which you people don't know, and this is the reason why I'm staying here. Some years back, when I was in my stable, I overheard the farmer. And the farmer was reprimanding his daughter and he told his daughter, "Sia, you know, you're becoming so stubborn every day, I'm going to get you married to this donkey." So the donkey said, "You know, Jazakallah for your offer and everything, but this is the reason why I'm staying here." Now first when you hear the story, you think, "Hey, this donkey, poor shame man, poor guy, you know." But when you really introspect, maybe it'll come to the fore that we're not so different from him. You see, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set up this month of Ramadan in such a way that everything is working for us. He designed it in a way that the scales are tipped in our favor. You know, the conditions are absolutely conducive for us to become friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for us to find ourselves at home in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, myself included and many of us will express the sentiment that we don't find ourselves reaching that point where we love the ibadah, where we want to make more and more tilawah. Something's holding us back. It's like, you know, a person goes to swim in the beach early in the morning, and the conditions are perfect, the wind is just right, there's no blue bottles, you can even see some dolphins by the Moyo Pier out over there, you can see this. So you expect him to enjoy himself thoroughly. But when he comes back, he says, "No, you know what, I couldn't enjoy myself." "You know, why you couldn't enjoy yourself?" "Because, you know, I came with my car key there, there was no parda aunty there for me to leave my car key with, so I had to leave it on the shore, and now while I'm swimming, my mind is just there. Is my key okay? Is no one stole my key? My mind is always working like this here." So what we need to focus and think, what is it that's distracting our mind from enjoying ourselves in the ocean of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadah? And my respected brothers and elders, the one thing and the common factor, as Muwafaqim Asmal mentioned, is the cell phone, and more specifically the applications in the cell phone. And this is something I want us to understand, because very few people are talking about this. You won't even find it in WhatsApp's new terms and conditions. But the thing is that the majority of people who own a smartphone are severely addicted to the chemical called dopamine, which they access through the social media on the phone. And I mean, how many of us can understand this? When we wake up in the middle of the night, early in the morning, the first thing we do, we grab our phone, our eyes can barely open, but we're checking the phone over there. Or we just exited Twitter, but we go back and we're refreshing the page, we're on the WhatsApp homepage, we're not really doing anything, but we're just there. First thing when we exit the masjid, we have to check our phone. Someone sends us a YouTube link to watch one video, 2 hours go, and you know what, the time just flew like that. And it's not a coincidence that all of us, or many of us, are suffering from these same symptoms. It's not a coincidence, it didn't just happen like that. These are the typical symptoms of addiction. You see, whenever a person gets a notification, whenever he gets a friend request, whenever he gets tagged, or he gets poked, or whatever it is, the brain is triggered to release a chemical called dopamine. And this chemical is a feel-good chemical. The body needs it. The body needs it in the right amounts. But at the same time, it's very, very addictive. It's the same chemical that's released in high amounts when a person drinks alcohol, when he gambles. And the thing about social media is, you have access to unlimited amounts of dopamine at your fingertips. And what happens here is, your brain now begins to form a connection. I want pleasure, I go to the phone. And as time goes, the connection becomes so strong that it becomes second nature. Whenever you want to find happiness, whenever you need something, you go to the phone. And you might think, okay, what's the big problem with this? There's three major problems with this. The first is that now your everyday tasks, your normal daily activities become boring to you. They become mundane. You pick up a book to read. You pick up the Quran to read. You come to listen to a bayan. It's just not doing it for you. It's not giving you the level of dopamine that you are getting on the social media. So now after a few minutes, you're bored. Your mind is wandering. You're thinking, hey, what's happening here? What's happening there? Secondly, you used to this daily fix of dopamine, this hourly fix. So you can be in Taraweeh Salah behind the best Qari. You can be even understanding the words of Quran. But 40 minutes go when you haven't got the dopamine, now your brain is wandering. Subconsciously, you can't even control it, but your brain is going there. Just like that person who was in the best conditions swimming in the beach, but he couldn't enjoy it because his mind was going to his keys on the shore. Similarly, you can't help it, but you won't be able to enjoy it because your brain needs this fix of dopamine. And the third, and this is the most worrying consequence of this addiction that many of us are suffering from, is that it totally warps your reality, your understanding of reality. You see, now many of us, when we have a hard day, we have a tough day, we want to come home, we want to chill, we want to relax, then we'll go straight to the smartphone. And we'll relegate ibadah, tilawa, worship, all of these things to a duty, to an obligation, to something I just have to do, to like a chore. Whereas the reality of the situation is, and this is might seem weird to us, it might seem counterintuitive to us, but the reality of the situation is that true pleasure and true enjoyment comes in the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the greatest proof of this here, if we have to look at the sayings of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu, and we know nowadays, even though it's the modern age and we're getting such high doses of enjoyment, but anyone ask a married person and he'll tell you one of the most enjoyable nights of his life was the first night he spent with his wife. Or that feeling he got when he found out that he was a father, that euphoria he got. Now listen to what Khalid bin Walid radiallahu anhu is saying. He's saying that night in which I spend the first night with my wife, or the night in which I am informed that I am a father, more beloved to me than this year, more enjoyable to me than this year, is spending a cold night out with the muhajirun in the path of Allah, planning to attack the enemy in the morning. Can we imagine what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them? What's true pleasure? Look at Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu. He's on his deathbed, he's about to pass away, he begins crying. He says, oh Allah, I make you my witness that I'm not crying because I'm going to miss the money, I'm going to miss the orchards, I'm going to miss the rivers, I'm going to miss the wealth, I'm going to miss my family. I'm crying because liyadhama'il hawajir. I'm going to miss those long days fasting for you. I'm going to miss those long nights that I stood in tahajjud salah worshipping you. Can we really fathom the enjoyment, the satisfaction that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them in these things? But if we're going to allow these false hopes and dreams of finding enjoyment in the cell phone, finding enjoyment in the social media to hold us back, if we're going to allow this to hold us back from finding enjoyment in these things, then we'll never reach that level. And now I want us to think about the donkey in the beginning. He allowed that false promise of marrying the farmer's daughter. It was never going to happen, right? But he thought it was going to happen. And this prevented him from enjoying the rest of his life, grazing in pastures to his heart's content and enjoying himself. If we are going to allow these false promises, these fake dreams of finding contentment, finding enjoyment from this cell phone, if we're going to allow this to prevent us from making the leap through the hole in the fence, from enjoying true enjoyment in the pastures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ibadah, then really are we any wiser than this donkey? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us tawfiq wa afidum.
Respected friends, we have heard the symptoms of cell phone and social media addiction. And this is something, the harms and the dangers, we are all well aware of. But perhaps what many of us are living in, the young and the elderly included, is in a state of denial. You ask that youngster, how much of time do you spend on your cell phone? And he'll say half an hour, 45 minutes maybe in a day. But ask his parents the same question and the answer they give will be completely different. He is perpetually glued to his cell phone. In fact, you ask a grown man, how many hours do you spend on your cell phone in the day? His answer also, half an hour, 45 minutes, I'm doing my work. But ask his wife the same question, and what does she say? My husband is addicted to his cell phone. And it works both ways. So therefore, there is one thing I want each and every one of us to do today. On your smartphone, there is a way that you can track your usage of different applications. All of us know this. Go home today and open your cell phone and gauge how many hours you are spending on social media. How many hours you are spending on the Twitter application. How many hours you are spending on Facebook. How many hours you are spending on Instagram. Or whatever other applications there may be. And just as we are fasting in the month of Ramadan and abstaining from food and drink, if we can abstain from social media for the duration of the month of Ramadan, this will be the best. But if we are unable to do so, then at the very least, if you are spending 2 hours a day on social media, at least half it to 1 hour. If you are spending 1 hour, bring it down to half an hour. And the remaining time that you have, dedicate it to the recitation of Quran. And not only reciting Quran, on one occasion Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Abdullah bin Mas'ud, "Oh Abdullah, iqra alayya al-Quran. You recite Quran to me, I want to listen to you." So Abdullah bin Mas'ud says to him, "Oh Messenger of Allah, it is not befitting for me to recite Quran to you, whereas Quran was revealed to you, you should be reciting." Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to him, "Inni uhibbu an asma'ahu min ghayri." That on one hand is the recitation of Quran and the enjoyment that I get. But on the other hand is the great enjoyment and pleasure that I take in hearing the Quran being recited to me. And for us to understand and get a taste of this enjoyment, when we hear Quran being recited in a beautiful manner, it gives me great honor to call upon my Ustad, Qari Qasim Mutala Sahab, Dama Barakatuhum. Qari Sahab doesn't need much of an introduction. He is one of the senior Qurra of KZN of our country, and he is also the founder and principal of Madrasa Tajweedul Quran.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم إِنَّ لَكَ فِي النَّهَارِ سَبْحًا طَوِيلًا الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما إن لدينا وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما رب المشرق والمغرب لا فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا صدق الله العظيم.
Say Jazakallah to Qari Sahib for that recitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him a long life and grant us the ability to take benefit from his oceans of knowledge. And really, respected brothers and elders, this is the miracle of the Holy Quran. We know when it comes to sports, when it comes to those who are supporters of their teams, then we take great pride and honor in the tradition of our teams. So a person, you'll hear him saying, we won the league the most number of times in the past 50 years, and we are the most successful team in the history of the Champions League, or whatever it may be. We are so many time World Cup winners. The tradition of the Holy Quran is not 50 or 100 years, but this is a tradition that started in Madinatul Munawwara over 1,400 years ago. By show of hands, if we have to ask, seated here today, how many of you have done hifz or in the process of doing hifz? Just raise your hands. Where in the world will you find something like this? Any other book, somebody mentioned it very beautifully. One is, you ask a youngster, how many paras of Quran have you completed? And he says 15 or 20 or whatever it may be. And someone said, rather than saying that, tell yourself, I have memorized 700 pages of classical Arabic. Try and memorize one page of English and see how difficult it is, although it's our mother tongue. But this is the miracle of the Holy Quran, as the poet mentioned, that if we understood the pleasure and the enjoyment in the recitation of Quran, in listening to Quran, in engaging ourselves with the Holy Quran, understanding its meanings, then we will not have time to dirty our ears with the music of this world. We will not have time to listen to other things. We will only want to listen to the Holy Quran. Allah has given us these alternatives. Allah has given us Qurra in our midst. Allah has given us anashid and nazams that are sung in the praises of Allah, in the praises of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that spur us on and encourage us to do good deeds. And with this in mind, we will call upon Hafiz Umar Mullah to render a nazam.
يا صبح مدينة يا شام مدينة يسبح مدينة يشام مدينة مبارك تجي قيام مدينة بلا جانك يا جام مينا ہے عالم تیرا كيف اے خوش خرام مدينة بلا جانك يا جام مينا ہے عالم تیرا كيف اے خوش خرام مدينة يا صبح مدينة يا شام مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ مدینے کی گلیوں میں ہر ایک قدم پر ہو مد نظر احترام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ 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 بڑا لطف دیتا ہے نام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چھ ہوگی جو پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ نگاہوں میں سلطانیت ہے چھ ہوگی پائے گا دل میں پیام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے پیام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ سکون جہاں تم کہاں ڈھونڈتے ہو سکون جہاں ہے نظام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک تجھے قیام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر غم دو جہاں سے جو ہو جاہ دین سے غلام مدینہ ہو آزاد اختر دو جہاں سے جو ہو جاہ دین سے غلام مدینہ یہ صبح مدینہ یہ شام مدینہ مبارک
respected brothers and elders, really when a person of Iman hears the name of Madinatul Munawwara, he can't help but feel the hair on his hands stand up on end. His heart skips a beat. He feels his pulse begins to quicken. And he yearns to stand before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to send salat and salam upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And while Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have left this world, and we do not have that opportunity of sitting in his gatherings and his majalis, but the system of Allah is such that Allah has kept amongst us the warathatul anbiya, those who are the heirs of the anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam. And particularly during the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan, in this masjid and in various other masajid, these programs will be taking place wherein the inheritance of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam will be distributed. His Mubarak seerah will be spoken about. His beautiful sifat and qualities will be explained. All of us do have commitments, whether it be school, whether it be university, whether it be our businesses. But if we can take out time during these last 10 days of Ramadan, if not for the sunnat i'tikaf, then at least that we would spend a few hours in the day in the masjid, whether it be during the day, during the night, take part in these programs and see the benefit that we will find within our own lives. Inshallah, for the final item on our agenda, we will call upon Maulana Muhammad Amin Goga to render some advices.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi wahdah, wa salatu wa salamu ala man la nabiyya ba'dah. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati amalina. Man yahdihillah fala mudilla lah, wa man yudlil fala hadiya lah. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah, wa nashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Amma ba'd, a'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. إن المتقين في ظلال وعيون وفواكه مما يشتهون وقال تبارك وتعالى إن المتقين في جنات وعيون ادخلوها بسلام آمنين صدق الله العظيم. Respected ulama ikram, elders and my beloved friends, humble request for all of us to kindly close our eyes for a minute or two and just look down. Imagine right now that you are in the best of places and you are enjoying all the luxuries, all the beautifications, all the adornments that you desire. And you are in the best of places and now an announcer, the person in charge, makes the first announcement that indeed for you today it has been decreed that you shall remain alive and you shall never die. Announcement number two. Indeed it has been decreed for you that from today onwards you shall remain young, fit and healthy and you shall never experience old age. Announcement number three. Indeed, it has been decreed for you that from today onwards, you shall experience youth and you shall never experience old age. You shall be healthy and fit and never experience old age. And the fourth announcement. Indeed, it has been decreed for you that from today onwards, you shall experience eternal pleasure, eternal happiness, eternal beautifications and adornments, and you shall never experience any misery, any difficulties, any calamities. And finally, the announcer announces that is what you will meet to inherit because of that which you used to do. You have all the friends around you, all the family around you, and you can enjoy. Now, my respected brothers, you can lift your heads. Imagine, my respected brothers, this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to desire. Allah has prepared this for us. This is waiting for us very soon, my respected brothers. A time where we will enjoy how much we want, what we want. For eternity, it will be decreed for us that we will experience pleasure and happiness for eternity. And we shall never experience any misery, any calamity. To the extent that a person won't even defecate in Jannah. A person won't need to blow his nose in Jannah. A person won't need to cough in Jannah. A person won't have any sickness. He won't have to take any panado. There'll only enjoyment and enjoyment and enjoyment. إِنَّ الْمُتَّقِينَ فِي جَنَّاتِ وَعُيُونَ. Verily those who are conscious of Allah in this world. Verily those who abstain from the disobedience of Allah in this world. They will be in gardens in Jannah. وَعُيُونَ, and they will have springs. وَدْخُلُوهَا بِسَلَامٍ آمِنِينَ. Enter into this Jannah with peace and with safety. And in this world, I don't like you, you don't like me, I don't like him, he doesn't like him. I got a problem with him. Allah says, وَنَزَعْنَا مَا فِي صُدُورِهِمْ مِنْ غِلٍ. We will remove all types of jealousy, malice, ill feelings, hatred, anger, enmity for one another, conflict, difference of opinion. Allah will remove all of it from the hearts of all the jannatis. عَلَى سُرُورٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They will be on couches, VIP couches, facing one another, enjoying the beauties of Jannah. لَا يَمَسُّهُمْ فِيهَا نَصَبٌ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْهَا بِمُخْرَجِينَ. No calamity, no difficulty will affect them now. They will remain in Jannah forever, and they will not come out of it. My respected brothers, are we ready for this? Do we have this goal in front of us? Do we have this objective in front of us? يَلْبَسُونَ مِنْ سُنْدُسِ وَإِسْتَبَرَقٍ مُتَقَابِلِينَ. They will be made to wear garments of fine silk and brocade. They will be facing one another. وَزَوَّجَنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. And they will get married. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will marry them to large-eyed damsels of Jannah. Beautiful damsels of Jannah awaiting us. But my respected brothers, have we earned this Jannah? Have we paid the price for this Jannah? Are we making an effort to purchase this Jannah? Such a Jannah, ma la aynun ra'at. No eye has ever seen. Wa la udhunun sami'at. No ear has ever heard of. Wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. No mind has ever fathomed. Such a Jannah is waiting for us. The marketplace, a person will go every week to Jannah, and there will be a marketplace on the day of Jumu'ah. And when the Jannatis will go to this marketplace, there will be a wind that will blow. And when this wind blows, the person's face becomes more beautiful. And he becomes more handsome. And when the wind touches the clothes of this person, his clothes become even more beautiful. And then when they come back, all these Jannatis will come back home to their families. Then their families will say, are you the same person? Have you become more beautiful, more handsome? They will say, yes, we went to the souk, and there Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increased our beauty. And Allah increased the beauty of our clothing. And they will also say, you have also looked beautiful. You have also increased in your beauty. The palaces of Jannah, my respected brothers, one brick of silver, pure silver, one brick of pure gold, the cement in between with pure musk, the earth made of not sand and pebbles, my respected brothers, saffron. The pebbles of Jannah made of rubies and emeralds and pearls. That is the Jannah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling us towards. And the price for that is in this world. How we can make a little sacrifice in our youth. Growing up in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The little we need to take from the month of Ramadan is save those changes. We've made those changes to be in a good environment, haven't we? We've made those changes by coming in the environment of masjid, reciting Quran. You see, especially after Asr, one half is reading to another half is testing my part. Right till Maghrib, increased amount of time with the Quran Kareem. Good company, my respected brothers. Let us join good company. This good company is like the example of a perfume shop. If a person goes into a perfume shop, spends 10 minutes there and comes out, another friend greets him and says, "Hey, mashallah man, khushbu, very nice smell on you. Where you came from?" "I came from Al-Haramain." Why? The effect of that perfume shop. It has an effect on the person. Like that, my respected brothers, when we will be in the company of good people, good friends, who encourage us to do good things, and who prevent us from doing that which is disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then good actions will rub upon to us. There'll be an encouragement, a motivation within us to do those good deeds. But if a person goes in the company of a blacksmith, if a person goes close to a dumpyard and spends 10 minutes there, and then comes out, first thing you say, "Bhai, just keep a distance, go have a shower first, and then come back." Because we can't take that smell. We can't handle that smell. Imagine the stench of the disobedience of Allah. Imagine the stench of zina, of haram, of watching that which is haram. What a stench that has in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my respected brothers, we have to understand and realize in this short life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us to maximize. Because very soon a day is coming where we will be able to inherit, inshallah, that jannah. Bima kuntum ta'malun, because of what you did in this world. Obviously, we will all enter jannah because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But obviously, actions have to be also made, good deeds, so that we can attain the highest stages of jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ask of Firdaus, the highest stage of jannah." Today, if you have to go to a hotel for a holiday, and someone asks, what kind of a hotel you want? Ground floor or the penthouse? Who will say, "I want to stay on the ground floor"? So imagine now, on the day of Qiyamah, if a person sees his brother gone on the first floor of Jannah, why? Because I read one more Subhanallah. Because I spent one more moment in the masjid. I read one more Tahajjud Salah. That's why I'm on a higher level than you. Then a person is too late to regret. So now's the time, my respected brothers, to make that change, to save those changes that we made in the month of Ramadan, and join good company. Three characteristics to choose who must be a person who I must join. Firstly, I need to scan him. How do I scan this person? When I see him, does he remind me of Allah? If there's a tick in that box, choose him as a friend. When I see him, I don't think of that girl, or think of the movies, or I think of this haram or that haram. When I see him, he reminds me of Allah. Secondly, when he speaks, he increases my knowledge of deen. Not my knowledge of the latest car and the latest cell phone and the latest haram that is out in the market and what's the latest on Instagram and on Facebook and how many followers he got just to get name and fame in this world. My respected brothers, when he speaks, he increases your knowledge of deen. And finally, third tick you need to look for to choose him as a friend. When he does any action, he reminds you of the akhirah. When you see him doing any action, you think to yourself, "Hey, this person is doing something with an objective in mind." My respected brothers, each and every one of us has sins to our account. But remember, كُلُّ بَنِي آدَمَ خَطَّاءٌ وَخَيْرُ الْخَطَّائِينَ التَّوَابُونَ. Every one of us is a sinner. But the best of sinners are those who sincerely repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today we'll repent. And when we make tawbah, my respected brothers, three conditions. Abandon the sin. Go away from the sin. Secondly, have the regret and remorse in the heart for committing that sin. And thirdly, make a firm resolution that, "Ya Allah, I'm not going to go back to that sin." After that, perhaps, a person may fall into that sin again. Now, it's not for us to become complacent, despondent, demotivated. "Oh, now what must I do? What's the way forward? I lost hope. I tried already. I lost. I failed." No, my respected brothers. Make 2 rakat salah again. Ask dua, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again. And continue with this, my respected brothers. A day will come May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will free us from all sins. So my respected brothers, whatever changes we have made in the month of Ramadan, remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is waiting to reward us. And there is great reward waiting for us in the akhirat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us a tawfiq. You know, there was one youngster, my respected brothers. He went on a strict diet. So one alim asked him, "Hey, boy, how you maintain this here? How you manage to sustain this?" Because he was shedding weight very swiftly. So he says, "Maulana, the joy of standing on the scale continues to allow me to do this. The joy of standing on the scale allows me to maintain this." Imagine, just to stand on the scale and to see his weight very light makes him happy. My respected brothers, if only each and every one of us could focus on the scale of the hereafter, shedding sin will become easy. If only each and every one of us have to focus on the scale of deeds and the hereafter, then shedding the sins of this dunya will become easy for us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.
Respected brothers and elders, before we conclude, we heard about the fragrance of good deeds, and we heard about the stench and the bad odor of evil deeds, which brings to mind one incident. There was a young boy, 3 years of age, and his mother had taught him that whenever you speak a lie or you say a bad word, a stench emanates from your mouth, and your friends will run away from you because your mouth will smell. So one occasion he was doing something that he was not supposed to do, and his mother caught him, "What are you doing?" And in that moment, a young child now, he doesn't want to get into trouble, so he spoke a lie. And he said whatever he had to say. Few moments later, he comes to his father. He opens his mouth. He says, "Abba, please smell my mouth. Is my mouth smelling?" His father looks at him. And then he says, "Astaghfirullah." 3-year-old child. "Astaghfirullah." And then he comes back to his father. "Now is my mouth smelling good once again?" Such consciousness a young child has. If we leave this program today and we go back, just bringing this into our lives, this consciousness of a 3-year-old child, and we realize and remind ourselves, when I do any act of disobedience to Allah, then a bad odor and stench comes out from my body. The angels run away from me. And we realize that I have to now make istighfar. I have to make tawbah. I have to repent before Allah so that I can smell good once again in the court of Allah. We have come to the end of our program. Before we ask Maulana to make dua, I would like to place on record our appreciation and gratitude, firstly to Maulana Imsa for facilitating this program, and the trustees of the masjid for allowing us to have this program, and more importantly, each and every one of you for being a part of this program. Allah accept it from each and every one of you. Allah accept those who have spoken, those who have recited. Make it a means of our protection in this world and in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم يا الله accept our sitting here يا الله يا الله in this مبارك month of Ramadan يا الله يا الله we have raised our hands يا الله there are so many حفاظ and علماء presidents gathering there are elderly and young معصوم children يا الله يا الله each one is begging you for your mercy يا الله Ya Allah, let the Ramadan, Ya Allah, the remaining days go beautiful, may Allah. Ya Allah, full of barakat and afiyat, may Allah. Ya Allah, let it not happen that Ramadan finishes and comes to an end, and still we are not forgiven, may Allah. Ya Allah, do not make us among the unlucky ones in the month of Ramadan. Don't make us be among those who are cursed in the month of Ramadan. Ya Allah, make us be among those who are su'ada and those who will be, Ya Allah, fortunate, whom you will forgive. Ya Allah, emancipate our souls from the fire of Jahannam, may Allah. Ya Allah, help us to make tilawat of the Qur'an and Majid every single day of our life. Let our tongues be moist with your dhikr, may Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with your ishq and muhabbat, may Allah. The ishq and muhabbat of Rasulullah Pak, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, especially this youth who are here, may Allah. And the youth throughout, may Allah. Ya Allah, grant them, ya Allah, good taqdeer, may Allah. Make them become nek and salih, may Allah. Protect them from all type of gunas, may Allah. They are the flag bearers of your deen, may Allah. Ya Allah, make them excellent huffaz, ulama, sulaha, atqiya, abrar, muqarrabin, maqbuleen, may Allah. Guide them, may Allah. Ya Allah, they will make mistakes, my Allah. But you are Ghafur Rahim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, put them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, if any person who's gone, Ya Allah, to taking drugs, my Allah. Ya Allah, help him to kick this habit off, my Allah. Ya Allah, give him hidayat, my Allah. Purify him, my Allah. Ya Allah, he has made a mistake, my Allah. Ya Allah, bring them back onto Sirat al-Mustaqim. Ya Allah, they have shown nadamat, my Allah. So many have come up, they want to change their life, my Allah. Ya Allah, help us to assist them, Ya Allah, so that they can also come onto the straight path, my Allah. Ya Allah, make all these youngsters especially become beacons of hidayat, my Allah. Ya Allah, help them strive in your path, my Allah. Give them beneficial knowledge, my Allah. Ya Allah, give them the best of dunya, the best of akhirat. Grant all of us afiyat, salamati, hifazat, izzat, aman, chain, sukoon, rahat, protection, your marifat, your qurb. Ya Allah, bless all of us with laylatul qadr, my Allah. Ya Allah, these mubarak 10 days have arrived, my Allah. Accept our i'tikaf, my Allah. Make it be easy for us, my Allah. Ya Allah, make us spend our time correctly, my Allah. Give us good health, my Allah. Ya Allah, protect us from all shurur and fitan. Help us to exercise complete control over our tongues, my Allah. And our gazes, my Allah. Ya Allah, give us mawt in Madinah Sharif. Buryal Jannatul Naqi. Grant us the shafaat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Quran water from his mubarak hands. Make us enter Jannat without any reckoning. Protect all of us from azab of qabr, azab of jahannam, from every big and small fitna, especially the fitnas of Dajjal. ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين وجعلنا للمتقين اماما يا الله all the حفاظ who have read تراويه يا الله يا الله accept the تراويه يا الله accept the ختم of the Quran they have made يا الله and the remaining days especially more ختمز will be made يا الله accept all the ختمز of the Quran المجيد يا الله and make us see the anwarat and barakat of Ramadan يا الله even the remaining year the remaining months of the year يا الله right from the next Ramadan and all those who have passed away, our family members, Ya Allah, our friends, our mashayikh, Ya Allah, musallis of this masjid, may Allah, Ya Allah, grant them jannatul firdaus, make them maghfirat, may Allah, all those who are sick and ailing, grant them complete shifa. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul 'alim wa tub 'alayna ya mawlana innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Subhan rabbika rabbil 'izzati amma yasifun wa salamun 'alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil 'alamin.
Inshallah, the exit of the masjid, there will be some kitabs that will be handed out. This kitab has been specifically written to deal with substance abuse and giving up drug addiction. But the advices contained in there, inshallah, will help us to overcome all addictions that we have. And secondly, especially for our youth before leaving, there are some registration forms in the back. If you have not already added your name and your details to our database, kindly fill in your details so that you may be kept up to date for the latest programs, inshallah. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahu, bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta.